I remember a few years ago, I was up late one night and I was flipping through the TV channels and I was running through the many different ESPNs. And I noticed that they were, you know, this network that's known for people showing people running and throwing and shooting and catching and scoring had a poker tournament on. That it would be a sports event that you sit and watch people play cards. I did not know that this was a sport. And I thought this really kind of belongs on the Game Show Network, right? They've got the Game Show Network now. I thought this really doesn't belong on ESPN, but I kind of lingered a little bit too long and kind of got sucked into it because after a couple of minutes, I noticed that it got down to only two players. And at one point, these two players had played through to a point where one of them went all in, pushed all of their chips to the center of the table. And what was even more intriguing to me is, you know, when you watch on TV, they show their cards. I knew he was going to lose. But anyway, I'm watching, and this guy goes all in, everything. It's like everything, every bit that he had was on the table. And there was so much drama in this moment. It's win or lose. It's all or nothing. It's do or die. Everything is on the line. It's put up or shut up. It's go big or go home. That's what it means to be all in. Now, I want to go on the record. The Bible actually does speak against gambling. We're supposed to trust God, not gamble, to get what we need. And greed is what drives gambling. But so we're not endorsing that this morning. But the concept of going all in, the concept of putting everything on the table, win or lose, is very much in the Bible. Matter of fact, it's all over the place. We are encouraged all the time by God to go all in all the time. My question to you this morning is that when it comes to your relationship with God, have you pushed all your chips to the center of the table, or are you holding out? Have you gone all in? It's God, win or lose. It's God's way, do or die. Win or go bust. Is there something inside of you that you're withholding for him, or are you all in? And my prayer would be that over the next few weeks as we delve into this series a little bit, my prayer and my hope would be that we would go all in. Because let me tell you something. What would be more powerful than a church that's all in? Where everybody says it's we're going to trust in God, we're going to depend on God, we're with him all the way, win or lose, good or bad, hard or easy, we're all in. What could God do with a group of people like that? What could he do in your family if we were all in? We're putting everything on you, we're risking it all, we're laying it all on the line. See, because I think some of us are missing out because we're holding back. We think that by holding out, that it's keeping us from missing out, right? Because that's the main reason we hold off. That's the reason we hold back, is that we don't want to miss out on anything. But the truth is, when you hold out on God, you miss out on so much. And some of us are not experiencing the power and the joy. We're not experiencing the intimacy that God wants us to experience. For this one reason is that we're holding something back. Are you holding anything back? Listen, we all do it. We all do it at different points in our lives. That video resonates with us. It's because we like the same things over and over again. And we are scared of failure. We're scared of putting it all on the line. What if I lose it? We are scared of moving forward. We are scared of life being different. And we can get stuck in our faith. We can get stuck in our walk because we're not willing to lay it on the line. And we're not willing to go all in. There's a story of a man in the Bible that God challenged to go all in. His name's Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 22, we read this story. So it's a long story. So you can read it on the screen with me. I've highlighted some words on the screen that I want you to pay particular attention to because we're going to come back to them later on a little bit. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied. Here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. God, go. We'll talk about it in a minute. So the Bible says that Abraham, Isaac, and two of his servants got up early the next morning. They chopped a bunch of wood for a fire. They loaded up the donkeys, and they took off. And on the third day of their journey, it says in Genesis, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance, the place where God told him to go sacrifice his son. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little further and we will worship there, and then we will come right back. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father, yes, my son, Abraham said. We have the fire and we have the wood, the boy said, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. And when they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and he arranged the wood on it. And when he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And at that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham said, probably very relieved. Here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. And then Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. And so he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named the place Yahweh Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. And to this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says, because you've obeyed me and not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond the number, like the stars in the skies and the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. Now, I have to tell you, as a dad and as a grandfather, this is probably one of the most uncomfortable stories in all of Scripture. Because the question always comes up, how could a loving God, a caring God, even suggest what he is commanding Abraham to do? But I would submit to you that this story is not about the character of God, it's about the character of Abraham. Do you remember way back in the day? They still do it a little bit, I guess. I'm not generally home during this time, but you know, in the middle, they used to run this emergency broadcast system interruption on TV, right? They do that, like, wah, 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 you know what I'm talking about? That's my imitation of it. And they always say this is a test, you know, and for the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. If there had been an actual emergency, you would have been, well, you know what I'm talking about, right? The writer of Genesis says this is only a test. God never intended for Abraham to sacrifice his son. In fact, I don't even believe God would have allowed it. But he was trying to test Abraham's character. Is Abraham all in? And here's the thing. We often go through tests. All of us. We often question, and when we do, we often question God's character, right? Because when we're going through a test, a lot of us ask, what's wrong with God? Or we start to answer, what's wrong with me? What'd I do to deserve this? But really, the God's character is not in question. It's ours, the character of our faith. And I have found there are moments when God will test us and to help us determine whether our lives are truly submitted to his lordship. He tests us to find weakness, to strengthen our endurance, to develop our character. How many of you this morning drove here to church in a vehicle? Okay, some of you walked. You don't really look like you did, but you walked. And here's the thing. You drove in a vehicle that was made up of 1,000 different parts. And all those parts have been tested. All those parts have been run through the ringer. They've all been put to the stress test. Why? Because before you get in that car and drive 85 miles an hour to church, like some of you did this morning, hands. Anyway, you want to make sure all those parts are working right, huh? And so they go through thorough testing to test their limits, to see how long they'll last, to test their endurance, and even to improve their design. Because sometimes when they test parts, they figure out something's not working right, and they improve it. They re-engineer it. They redesign it. They develop it. Parts are tested to last longer and be more reliable. And that's what happens with God when we're tested. Listen to James 1:3. For you know when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Listen, Romans 5:3-4 out of the Message. There's much more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue or character, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. There are tests that come in life. Now listen, some things in life happen because we live in an evil world. But there are times when God allows those things in our lives. Others times, you know, the Bible says, James says, God's not the author of evil. He doesn't do wrong to us. He doesn't get a kick out of watching you and I struggle. He doesn't get a kick out of testing us. But I know this, if he doesn't test us, we can't get stronger. If we don't go through tests, we can't build. I would love, my son was up here last week. And you see the arms on that monkey? I'm telling you, man. He hurts me sometimes. He didn't even know he's doing it. I would love to have my son's arms. But here's the thing. My son has used resistance by lifting weights to build his muscles, because that's the only way you can build muscles. And so God's in this, and he's trying to develop us. He's trying to grow us. He's trying to shape us. And so we're tested sometimes. And often his tests are difficult to take. But when they come, they're not to defeat us, but to reveal to us, to develop us, to grow us, to show us, to help us see whether God's still on the throne or whether something else has taken his place. That's the case with Abraham. If you haven't heard the story, you should go read it. Basically, God had promised to make Abraham a great nation. And he would start by you know, if you go back to Abraham, he's old age, him and Sarah, they don't have any children. God made him a promise. I'm going to make you a great nation. So they gave him an heir, Isaac. Isaac was this miracle child, right? He's the beginning of the fulfillment of God's promise. But now God was asking Abraham to put the promise, put the gift on the altar. Because God wanted to know, which is more important to you, the gift or the giver? Am I still number one? Sometimes the gifts that God gives us can become more important than the one who gave them to us. The gifts can even become idols. If you aren't careful, your relationship with God can get truly selfish in nature. Matter of fact, serving God can be very pragmatic. It's all about what he gives to us. And I hear a struggle with this all the time. People will say, you know what, I did this and I did that, and God told me this and God told me that, and why don't I have it? What's wrong with God? What's wrong with me? What's the matter? God becomes a means to an end, a means to get the things that we want. The gift becomes more important than the giver. And God will test us from time to time to make sure that he's still on the throne and we're still trusting in him and not in the stuff that he gave us. God will test us to find out where we get our identity, because you know it's real easy to start getting your identity from the stuff he gives you. It's real easy to start getting your security. Trusting in and depending on for security the things that God gives to you instead of him. God will make sure that your identity and your security are in the cross of Christ and in his resurrection. And God will go after anything. Listen to me. God will go after anything in your life that you are trusting in more than or equal to him. He wants to be Lord. When the very thing that God gave you to serve his purpose in your life is undermining God's plan for the rest of your life, God will test you. He'll ask you to put it on the altar. If you become dependent on whatever he gives you rather than depending on him, if you start to trust in what he blesses you with rather than trusting in him, a test will come. God-given gifts are wonderful things, but they are also some of the most dangerous things. Because if we start to depend on them, they become idols in our life. As we cultivate these things that God has given us, we need to make sure that he's still on the throne. God will test us. I wonder, what blessings in your life have become more important to you than God? I mean, think about it for just a minute. Have you gotten so far along in your life? Has God blessed you with so much money that you really don't need to depend on him anymore? You depend on your stock market account? Depend on your retirement? Depend on what you can make? See, if God blesses you financially with resources and money and wealth, I believe that's a blessing from God. But if you aren't careful, that blessing can displace God and become more important than he is. Do you know every time we pass the offering place in worship, it's a test? It's a test of, am I trusting in what I can do and what I have and what he's blessed me with, or do I trust him? What's more important? Money can be an Isaac. Did you know God blesses you with a job and he's the one who's given you the skills and the abilities and he's the one who's opened the door? That job, I believe, is a gift from God, but if you aren't careful, that gift can become an idol. It becomes your identity. It becomes your security. And it can become more important to you than God himself. It can become an Isaac. God blesses us with children and family. I believe my family is a gift from God. I'm a blessed man. But if I'm not careful, those relationships in my family and my friends can displace my relationship with God. And in that moment, the gift becomes an idol and they become an Isaac. What blessing in your life is more important than the blesser? Can happen in church. We can get prideful. We can get prideful about our theology. We can get prideful about our beliefs. We can start to trust them. I mean, the church body, the church of Jesus Christ, is a great blessing to all of us. What we sing, what we preach, we can get prideful about the gifts that God has given to us. If we're not careful, those things become Isaacs to us. So important to us that we feel like we've got to defend them. So important to us that we are willing to take up arms against one another over them. Sometimes the people we worship with can become more important. Sometimes buildings can become more important than the presence of God. Sometimes it's programs. Sometimes it's things like the Passion Play. You know, we're getting ready to celebrate our 75th, and I want to tell you something. The Passion Play was a huge blessing in the life of this church, was it not? God built this church in 21 years through the life of the Passion Play. Some of you are here because of the Passion Play. It's a great, great thing. And our 75th anniversary is coming up, and we're going to reflect on that. But here's the thing. That was just a gift to us. I wonder in these last 2 or 3 years when we moved beyond where we can't do it anymore, I wonder if some of us aren't struggling, if that's been such an Isaac to us that we've had trouble laying it down. Could God be testing our hearts as a church? That something he blessed us with, asking us the question, what's more important, that or me? Well, where do we find our identity? Do you find your identity in that, or do you find your identity in me? Where's your security found? In doing that or in me? I don't know if you know the name Phil Vischer. He's the creator of VeggieTales. You remember VeggieTales? My kids grew up. He started Big Idea, Inc. Remember Bob the Tomato and Larry Boy? You know? You ever called somebody Bob the Tomato and you meant it derogatory? Anyway, Bob the Tomato and Larry Boy, the company sold more than 50 million videos. It grossed hundreds of millions of dollars. But do you know how the original Big Idea ended? In a lawsuit. And Phil Vischer, he's written a book. And he talks about how the company went into bankruptcy, and now somebody else owns all of those different properties. But here's what he said. He had spent so much of his life on this. 14 years of work, he said, flashed before my eyes when they had to declare bankruptcy. The characters, the songs, the impact, the letters from kids all over the world. It all flashed before my eyes, and then it all vanished. I was heartbroken. And then he heard a sermon by a pastor who said this, and he writes this in his book. If God gives you a dream and the dream comes to life and God shows up in it and then the dream dies, it may be that God wants to see what is more important to you, the dream or him. Can I tell you something this morning? I've had some of my dreams die. Can I tell you this morning, I've had some things that God laid on my heart and they were really good for a while and then all of a sudden they were gone. And I had a hard, hard time because we just naturally cling to things like that. If we're not careful, those things become our identity. If we're not careful, those things become our security. As long as I'm doing that, as long as we're singing this, as long as my class is together, we put security in those things. We put identity in those things. But there are times when God lays and says, I want you to lay that on the altar. I want you to sacrifice. I want you to lay that thing down because I want to know, am I more important than what I've given you? Am I more important than the blessings I've poured into your life? What do you love more, the dream God gave you or the God who gave you the dream? Has the dream become the end goal and God the means by which to get to it? How do you respond when God tests you? And listen to me, he will test you. Now listen, if you're new here this morning, you're like going, wow, this is why I don't go to church. I knew that, but I didn't want to hear about it. No, listen to me, there's some good things because here's the reason. God's tests are always meant to build us up, not tear us down. God's tests are always built to make us more like his son Jesus, not tear us down. God's not against you. He's not over. He's not fighting. He is fighting for you, not fighting against you. And when those tests come, there's a way to respond to those tests where you and I can grow to be more like him. And it's all here with Abraham. How do we go all in and how do we respond when the tests come? Well, first of all, you need to be sure you lay Isaac on the altar. Abraham built this altar and then he tied his son down and put him on the altar. Now, I can't imagine that because, like I said, you saw my son last week. Abraham, if they think Isaac was maybe 25 to 35 years old when this happened. That means Abraham's over 100. That means that he was no longer the wrestling champion of his family. I remember the day I was wrestling my son. We used to wrestle all the time in the floor. And I remember the day that we were wrestling and it was really difficult. And we were wrestling and I looked down and he has hair on his legs. I knew the end was coming. You saw him up here. If I wanted to today, 56 years old, there's no way I could get him on an altar tied down. And there's no way Abraham could have done it. This meant that Isaac must have done it voluntarily. And we don't have any record of the conversation, but I've heard people say, well, he really must have trusted his dad. I don't know if he did or not. Here's what I think. I think he trusted his dad's God. My parents, from time to time, when I'm going through a hard time, even at 56 years of age, I will call my parents who are in their 70s and look for some wisdom, for some comfort. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. But you know what the most powerful moments have been for me with my mom and dad? It's when they've told me what God has said to them about me. So I remember once I was going through a really bad time and I talked to my mom and my mom said she'd be praying for me. And a couple of days later, she called me. My mom had had a dream in the middle of the night and God had come to her. And it's a long story, but the fact that in that dream, God told my mom, I've got him. And when my mom told me that her God said, he's got me, I could lay still on the altar. You got to trust him. You got to lay it down. You got to even tie it down. I thought about why did he tie him down? Because Isaac might have been tempted to get up. Because here's the thing. When you lay something down on the altar, when God says, I want you to lay that down and give that to me, those things sometimes have a life of their own and they will get up and walk away. You need to tie it down, which is to say you need to make a commitment. I am giving this to you, and I'm trusting you with it. Has God been calling you to give him something? And you've, maybe you laid it on the altar, but you didn't tie it down. And it squirmed on you, and it moved around on you. Maybe it got up and walked off. Is it God calling you to tie something? Maybe it's a blessing. Maybe it's something that's great. Maybe it's something you're depending on, trusting in. See, I think Isaac laid there because he trusted God, and I believe Abraham tied him down because he was making a commitment to God. This really is yours. This is yours. Listen, it's real easy to say, well, I'm not talking this morning about problems, okay? I'm talking about good things. God's asking some of us to give him good things. Good things, wonderful things. Isaac was the fulfillment of the promise. God said, lay down. Are you willing to lay down? To tie it down? Here's another thing you got to do if you're going to be all in. You've got to trust God to provide. As Abraham raises that knife, the angel of the Lord stops him. He says, do not lay a hand on the boy. Don't do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you've withheld from me your son, your only son. And he looked over in the thicket and he saw a ram that was there, and he went and he took that ram and he put it on the offering, and he killed the ram and made that sacrifice to God. And then he called the place, he called it, he said, Jehovah Jireh, this is the place. The Lord will provide. God reveals himself as the God who provides. Abraham trusted God to provide. See, when you take that good thing and you lay it down, and man, I've had to lay good things on the altar, but I've had to trust that God would provide. Tell him I said hi. That God would provide. That God's there. That God's got it. That God's going to take care of me. That if God says to lay it down, either I don't need it anymore or he's going to give me something better. I remember when I broke up with Trudy. We were engaged, and we were like only 3 or 4 months from getting married. And we broke up. It was horrible and terrible. And primarily I'd given her up because I'd been being chased by this girl. Beautiful girl. But I remember thinking like, man, will God ever give me a woman again? Because a guy like me, it's hard to get women. So anyway, you know what it's like when things come to an end? Sometimes in relationships we go, God, will I ever have another one? When a friend betrays it, when God says, lay that friendship down, it's not good for you, I want you to put it on the altar, or maybe it is good for you and that friend's become more important to you than God, and God says, put it on the altar, you can trust God that he may either give it back or he may give you another. Just because God said put Isaac there doesn't mean God wasn't going to fulfill his promise. It just might be different than the way Abraham thought it was going to be. And that's what we do too, right? We think God gives us a promise and we can see it all play out in our mind, right? We know how it's going to happen and where it's going to happen and who's going to be involved and how it's going to feel. And the fact of the matter is, most of the time when God gives you a promise, you have no idea. You may have an idea, but that doesn't mean it's God's idea. And so we have to trust him. We have to trust him that he's got this. That even if I lay this down, I know you've got it. Part of that is just, you know, I remember if you read Ephesians, I think this is what Paul's talking about in Ephesians 1. He says, long before God laid the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family. God's had an idea for a long time. And see, when you can trust that God's got it, that's why it makes it easier to lay something down. Sometimes we don't lay stuff down because we don't trust that God's got it. You don't understand, God, I got to keep this job. You don't understand, God, I got to keep this relationship. You don't understand, God, I got to keep that money. And it's all a matter of trust. I've found in my life all the time, there are certain things I've got to die to sometimes, and God gives them right back to me because he just wanted to know. He needed to know. I needed to know that my focus was on him. And sometimes those things have been gone, and sometimes he's given me something new. And you know what? Every time he's given me something else, it's always been better. Because he's in it. Is there something that you need to put on the altar before God? Is there something you need to, you know, is there something you're struggling to trust him with? And here's the last thing. The angel said, you know what? Go be a blessing. The angel said that because you, God said, because you've not withheld, in other words, you're not holding anything out, you've gone all in, the promiser is more important than the promise. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply your descendants. And basically, he reiterates the promise that he had made to him before. But he has this little caveat right there at the end. All this is going to happen. You're going to bless the world because you obeyed. God's more or less saying to him, now, Abraham, go be a blessing. Go be a blessing. You never know how your faith, your step of faith, is going to impact somebody else. We're going to celebrate our 75th anniversary. And in 70, there are people through the years who have sacrificed, who have laid things on the altar that have had an impact on us today. People, I look back in my life and I see people who, I can imagine, listen, I was horrible. I can't imagine. Can you imagine trying to be my youth pastor? It was awful. But Danny Laws and Darlene Laws and Charlotte Craig, they invested in me at a time when I didn't look like I was very investable. There are people through the years at this church, and the reason we're here today and we're sitting in this room, and the reason why today we're able to worship, you are the result of somebody else way back there laying it on the altar. You're the blessing. You're the blessing. Look at somebody next to you and say, you're a blessing. Okay, do it again and act like you mean it. And here's the thing. Whoever comes after us, it's dependent on us going out into the world and being a blessing. See, that's the promise to Abraham. Go out and be a blessing. You never know how your step of faith, we're talking about Abraham's step of faith today, a long, long time after it happened. It's not just about you, it's about your influence on others around you for the purposes of God. I'm going to have the worship team come back up. I want to ask you a question this morning. Is there anything you're holding back on God today? Are you all in? Is there anything in your life that he's been talking to you about? Is there anything that he's been challenging and asking you whether that's more important than he is? And would you have the courage to put it on the altar? I'm going to be honest with you. I tell you, I love my kids, my grandkids, and what Abraham did. I know this, that when Abraham told the servants to wait, he said, we'll be back. We will come back. He had confidence in God. I want that kind of confidence in God. That no matter what he asked me to do, and sometimes what he asked me to do is hard. Sometimes what he asked me to do is difficult. Sometimes it costs me everything. But he asked me to do it. He says, put your Isaac on the pile and be willing to let me have it. Trust me. Trust me with what you have. And some of us are wondering why we don't feel the fullness of grace or why we've not experienced the power of God. Maybe some of us have been struggling with, you know what, my prayer life's just not what it used to be. My devotions are kind of bland. I go to church and I sit, I just don't feel it. Maybe the deal is, you know, God's the same yesterday, today, forever. What God wants for you is the same. Maybe what's going on is that we're holding out on him a little bit. God, I'll do that. God, I'll let you into every room of my heart, just not that one. God, I'll let you have everything, but don't ask me for that. That's too important to me. I fought too hard for that. I paid the price for that. Huh. You know, it's funny. Lou and I went this week to St. Louis, because our friend Brenda, mentioned her last week, passed away. Brenda got cancer 9 years ago, breast cancer. And then it went into her sternum. and then it went into other parts of her body. And there were times over 9 years where the cancer was in remission and gone, and then other times it would come back. And so this was a real up and down battle. And Brenda loved Jesus, and Brenda loved being healthy. But I remember Brenda telling me, you know what, I don't understand what all is going on, Pastor, but I know this, God's right here beside me through this. And you know what, I've laid my health down on the altar. I'm his. And no matter what happens in the middle of all this, I know what the end result's going to be, because I'm not going to live forever. And when I die, I'm going to go and be with him. That allowed Brenda to do so many. Brenda was known as a missionary in the chemo room. She would go, when she would take chemo treatments, she would get up and visit with other patients. They would tell her, they would ask, they would call her. She would give them their phone number. And they would call her and they would ask, why are you able to endure all this and go through all this? And she'd say, well, it's because of Jesus. And she would tell them about Jesus. And she would tell them she was going to pray for them. And then she would call me and say, you're going to pray for them too. Brenda could lay it all, she could endure all of that and go through all that and be all of that and be a witness for God for only one reason. She'd laid it all down on the altar. How about you? All this conversation, Abraham, you notice there's a couple of places God says to him, this is your one and only son. You know what that reminds me of? Reminds me of a verse of scripture that probably you know. It's in John 3:16, King James Version, the way I learned it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God laid his one son on the altar for you. He went all in for you. Are you willing to go all in for him? I want you to stand with me this morning. I want us to bow our heads and I want us to pray. I wonder this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed if there's somebody that might say, Pastor, I want to go all in this morning. I got some stuff God's been talking to me about and I just need to pray this morning and I just need to talk to him. I want you to know the altar is open this morning. Anybody this morning, just say, Pastor, just say, God, here I am. I'm going to come down here this morning, and I just want to take a minute, and I just want to talk to you and let you know I'm all in. I'm going to bring my Isaac this morning, and I'm going to lay him on the altar. I'm going to bring my Isaac this morning, and I'm going to lay it right down here for you this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. Anybody this morning without any music? This morning, just say, Pastor, I want to come and just come to the altar this morning. Anybody want to come pray? God, this morning, what a challenging, challenging word today. Challenges my heart this morning because, God, I am tempted to hang on to the blessings. I tend to grab hold of them and cling to them. Sometimes way too long. I tend to grab hold and sometimes focus on them. And then when something happens and they're taken away, I tend to get angry and I tend to get upset and I tend to get bothered and worried and fret. God, this morning, will you forgive us for making Isaac more important than you? Forgive me for making the blessings more important for you, for focusing on the blessings more than you, for putting my eyes on those things, for spending my energy on those things, when all of those things were just meant to glorify and honor you. Forgive me for those things that you gave me in my life and they had their purpose and they had their meaning. And when you tried to move me on and give me other things, I just clung to them. God, forgive me. Forgive me this morning for making anything in my life more important than you. Forgive me, God, for clinging and hanging on to something when I should have been clinging and hanging on to you. Forgive me for putting my identity in something, Lord, something that you blessed me with and something that you glorified yourself with in my life. But God, forgive me for making that my identity and not you. Forgive me for letting that thing become my security. Like if I didn't have it, I couldn't go on. God, forgive me, Lord. God, I want it to be all about you. Fix my eyes back on you this morning. I lay my Isaac on the altar. I lay it down, Father. It's yours. And if you choose to give it back to me, if you choose to give me something different, that's up to you. Because what's more important, it's more important for me to have you than it is to have it or her or him or them. I need you in my life. So God, whatever it takes, wherever my eyes need to go, whatever it is I need to focus on, however, God, help me. Jesus, you paid it all for me. And tonight, today, all to you is, I owe it to you this morning. You paid the price for my life. And so God, I pray, help me to always cling to you and you alone. Help me to always fix my eyes on you, on the blesser, not the blessings. May I always fix my eyes on the giver and not the gifts. God, if you took every gift away, if this was my last moment on earth, I am a blessed man. I am a blessed man because of all that you have given me, and you're the most important thing in my life. Oh God, be the most important thing in my life. I'm all in. You went all in on me when I was a mess and I was broken and I was sinful and I was carnal. You went all in on me. So now, God, the least that I can do is go all in on you. Be our all in these days. May we be known at Fairlawn Nazarene Church as a church that follows Jesus, as a church that loves God with all its heart. Who knows what you can do with us, what you can do through us, as we're all in for you. We love you, and we give ourselves to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song this morning before we go. And this song says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Guess what? He made it white as snow. Amen? If you still want to pray this morning, you can pray. But I want us this morning to commit to him today. He is the one we serve and follow. And he has all of us this morning. Let's sing it up and pray to him this morning.